G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you've got your Bible, have a look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 verse 5. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for your word and the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives that gives us revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you teach us and how you strengthen us and comfort us and correct us when we need the correction, and you build us up. And now we just believe that as we look at your word and we focus on your word, you will continue to bring revelation to us. For we agree that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so we believe that as we focus on your word, you will make clear the things that you're saying to us. So amen if you believe that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So I've been talking for a couple of weeks about the essentials of faith, and this is going to be my final part about it. There's a lot of things you can say about essentials of faith, but I just sense in my heart that three parts is enough for now, and we're going to move on to some other things after this. But let me just read out to you the scripture that I've read every week. And you can keep your place there in Matthew, because we'll come back to that scripture. But the scripture that I've read at the start of every week the last 2 weeks has been Hebrews 11:1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of the things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen." And we've seen that in different translations it brings it out in different ways. And so when we're talking about what we hope for, the New King James says substance, but other translations like the New American Standard, it says assurance. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for. The NIV says faith is being sure. The Lexham Bible says faith is the realization of what is hoped for. The New Living Translation says faith is the confidence of what we hope for. So we can see, we can get a picture of faith, and hopefully you've been getting a little bit of a picture of faith as we've been looking at this over the last couple of weeks, that faith gives assurance. It's more than hope. The word that's translated assurance or substance is that Greek word hypostasis, and hupo means under and stasis means foundation. So it's a foundation that sits under your hope. Faith is the foundation under your hope. But it's not just giving assurance and substance to your hope, but it's also evidence of what you don't see. We live in a world that so emphasizes our senses, our five physical senses. We live in a society that has just overplayed the whole feelings. The whole feelings issue. I remember the Holy Spirit said to me one time, this is a generation that has become, I can't remember the exact words that he used right now, but it was like, Yes, emotionally overweight. Thank you, Jules. Emotionally overweight. We've just, you know, emotions are good. I like good feelings. I'd rather have good feelings than bad feelings. But we live in a society that has just overplayed the emotion card, where it's like, well, you know what? Just do what you feel. You know, if you feel that you're a girl but you're really a guy, no, you're a girl, if that's what you feel. You know, and vice versa, and all these just weird stuff, and I don't need to be telling you, I'm sure you're aware of it. And in stark contrast to that, this scripture is saying faith is the evidence of what you don't see or what you don't feel. There's many times your feelings and your eyes and your senses will tell you certain things that are contrary to the Word of God. Well, what are you going to do? Often when I'm talking to people and they're talking to me about their situation, one of the questions that I'll come to them in the conversation is I'll say to them, well, what do you believe? Because they want to tell me about what they feel. Yeah, but you know, it hurts. And I can't do this. Yeah, okay, you've told me that, but what do you believe? See, because faith is the evidence of what you don't see. And we live in a society that wants to put the evidence on what we do see and what we do feel. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by what we see. So let me recap some things that we have talked about, and then I want to move on. And look, the messages are up there online, so you can download them. So we've seen how faith is substance of what we hope for. It's evidence of what we don't see. And a really important point that I've made, I really hope that you've heard it, because this really is a foundation of so much to do with the kingdom of God. Faith comes out of your relationship with Christ. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to be hearing what God is saying to us. It's not about putting formulas into place. It's about listening to Jesus and letting him lead us. And we talked a little bit about that last week, so I don't want to go into too much, but let me say this. You know, like, if God had his way, there wouldn't be a single sick person on planet Earth. Do I hear an amen? If God had his way, you wouldn't even get sickness for a millisecond if God had his way. So how is it we have so many people who die of illness? How is it we have so many believers who struggle with illness? And it's not a condemnation. Listen, if you've got symptoms in your body, believe God. That's why I'm teaching on this stuff, is so that you can use it. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, a little bit later. But why is it that there are people that are sick? And why is it that there are believers who struggle with illness? It's because God doesn't have his way. The more you give God his way in your life, the more you'll experience the results he's promised for you. The more we allow him to be Lord of our life, Lord of the areas of thought, the areas of our profession, the areas of our relationships, the more we allow him to be the decision maker in our life and allow him to have his way, the more it'll transform our life, and the more we're going to see the results that he's promised us, that he wants us. He's not trying to hold it back. And certainly that's been my experience. The more I've allowed him to have his way in my life, the more successful I've become. If we're talking about success over sickness and receiving healing, I am far more proficient today in this area than I ever have been in my life. I can go back, and I would encourage you to do that. You should be able to go back and look. Like, you may not be able to look over a few days or a few weeks or even a few months, but you should be able to look like, what are you like now compared to a year ago? How often are you getting sick? How often is it lasting? How often are you reaching for the medicine? How often are you having to go to the doctors? There should be some progress. There should certainly be some progress over like 3 to 5 years or more. And I've certainly seen that in my life. The more I walk with God, this is the importance of it. It's not just about like, man, I've got this urgent need, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. That's wonderful, and God will help you. But there's a better way. Just walk with him every day when there's no need. Just walk with him. Fellowship with him. And you find the needs won't arise anywhere near as much because you're just avoiding a lot of the pitfalls. It doesn't guarantee that nothing will go wrong in your life. I mean, afflictions come. Storms come. But it means if you're practicing walking with God, practicing listening to his voice, you're not overwhelmed when there's a storm. You know what to do. You've been practicing it. Okay, Lord, what do I do? And he'll begin to show you the steps that you need to take. If God had his way, there would be no sickness. Hey, and the more we allow him to have his way in our life, the more we will experience that. You think about it. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things I could show you to prove that, but just one simple proof is look at the ministry of Jesus. Everyone that came to Jesus and let him have his way was healed instantly. Is that right? Actually, well, I think some got healed as they went. I think the longest it might have taken is maybe 10 to 15 minutes. Most people got their healing instantly. Why? Because they were cooperating with someone who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you let me have my way in you, you'll get the results God wants you to have. That's one simple example. And so that should be our goal. Just let him be Lord. Let him have his way in your life and in my life. We talked last week also about how every believer has faith, and we looked at some scriptures to do with that. We also saw that, you know, like, how do you know that your faith is really doing something? There should be joy and peace starting to rise up in you. There's a confidence, because remember, faith is confidence. If you're still nervous, if you're still worried, if you're still discouraged, if you're still depressed, that means your faith really hasn't had significant traction. I'm going to talk today about the greatest form of faith and address those sort of things and how we can move past those. But I'm just recapping some things. The level of joy and peace in your life, particularly when you think about an area that maybe once potentially caused you to feel really discouraged or worried or fearful, the level of joy and peace you feel when you think about that is a good indicator about how much traction faith is having and working in the background of your life. It could be that there's no change in your situation, but you've got this confidence, this joy, this peace. Every time you think about that situation, it's just like, I just know it's done. I love that word that the Lord gave in it. It's done. It's done. There should be a joy and peace. That's an indicator. I'll share with you a quick story that happened to me as a chaplain to illustrate about this indicator. I remember the Lord had really put on my heart to sow a gaming console into a guy that I'd been mentoring. He wanted to be a chaplain, and so he came and spent a year with me and was learning the ropes. And you know, it's a long story, but I didn't really want to... Anyway, I won't go into all the details, but yet God really put on my heart, you need to do that. So I did it, and I sowed it into him. And then a few weeks later, I had a number of students in my office. There's probably, I don't know, 25, maybe 30, I don't know. It was pretty crowded, but the Lord spoke in my heart. It was distinct. It was as if, I'm not going to say it was the voice of God, but I could put words to it. It was so clear. It was so, I won't run ahead of myself, but and this is what he said. He said, I'm going to get you a brand new high definition big screen TV for your office. That's I'm not saying those are the words that he used, but that's what I perceived immediately. And it was so clear and it was so distinct. I wasn't thinking about anything like that. But it was so clear and so distinct. I said, oi, everybody, quiet, quiet. Because everybody was like in groups of five or six, just chatting and having their morning tea and stuff. And they all quietened down. And I said, God just spoke to me. And I said, and he told me he's going to get me a high definition big screen plasma TV for my office. I was just excited. I knew I'd heard, right? And anyway, when I said that, I realized actually half of these kids aren't even born again. And like there was just this awkward silence, you know, like. And then I thought, what have I done? And somebody said, who told you you're going to get a TV? And then I thought, oh man, these guys don't, half of these guys don't even believe in God. It was so clear to me, before my mind even had time to think about it, I just blurted it out. And so I just said, well, God told me. God told me he's going to get me a high-definition, big-screen plasma TV for my office. Anyway, there's still this really awkward silence. And someone at the back leaned over to his friend and said, who's going to get it? Like to them, you know, unchurched, what? And I said, look, God's going to do this. And so some guy at the front who's obviously going to take up psychiatry when he gets to uni, he's going, okay, so how is God going to do this? And I'm thinking, oh man, what have I done? You know, like, what have I just said? And I said, look, I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just telling you, just watch this space. I said, God's going to do this. Anyway, they had to go, and I was then in the office by myself, and I thought, what have I just done? And I prayed, and I said, Lord, did you really tell me that? I thought, because if you didn't tell me, I've made a mess. I have just really stuffed up big time. I said, did you tell me? You know, and sure enough, in my heart was this assurance, yes. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm glad that I didn't misrepresent. My concern was misrepresenting God. That was my first concern. So I kind of, okay. Then I thought, in my mind now starting to kick in. I go, how am I going to get it? I've never heard of a chaplain having, most chaplains don't even have an office. My office was bigger than the principal's office. And I'm thinking, I've never heard of a chaplain having a high definition, big screen TV in their office. And I thought, and the devil's getting on me going, dude, that's just so selfish. Think about what you could do with that money. Think, you know, like, you'd just be such a hypocrite if you took that and you got a high definition plasma TV. You're a chaplain. You should be defending the poor and the oppressed, and you're thinking about big screen TVs. Get over yourself. You know, all this is going, and I'm going, you know, that's right. You know, like, who am I? Like, I shouldn't be thinking like that. I'm sharing some of these details because it's important for you to understand some of these principles. If I stayed there, I never would have received. Because there's no faith in that. My head and the enemy was working, and he'll work in your head. He'll use your physical senses. He'll try to use your natural circumstances and try to tell you, look, just get real. This isn't going to happen. Well, the first thing he was trying to do is don't worry about that. It's just like, how dare you even think about that? And I started to feel guilty. That's right. You know, like, I mean, that, you know, and I saw, it's like the devil was giving me these visions of staff members and other chaplains coming and saying, like, man, you're just wasting all your money. Like, you've paid thousands of dollars for this TV. You could have used it for something else. And I was cringing. I was thinking, that's right. You know, like, I can't do that. I can't justify that. And I was really struggling. And, you know, I finally said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know if I can have it. I don't know if it's right for me to have it. I said, God, if this is you, you've got to give me something in your word. These are principles you can use. If the enemy's putting pressure, go to God. Say, show me something in your word. I needed something. I'm just thinking, how do I answer questions when I get this plasma TV, you know, like, and I needed to know some of these things, otherwise my faith couldn't be released. And the Lord, it's just as if he said to me, he said, that's easy. He said, you want something from the word? He said, I'll show you. Took me to 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray above all things. Actually, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, let me ask you a question. Is it prospering if you have a high-definition TV? And I said, yeah. And he said, is it prospering if that high definition TV is a big screen high definition TV? And I said, yep. And he said, well, read it again. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper. I thought, that's it. That settles it. I don't care what any chaplain says. I don't care what any staff member says. I don't care what anybody says. God wants to get me a high definition TV, a big screen. I'm going to believe it. So I was, it just released me. Hey, the enemy was trying to get in my head. Yeah, but what if they say, I don't care what they say. God's going to pay for it. I'm not paying for it. God's going to pay for it. I started telling people, I remember when I first started telling, because I'm trying to illustrate, how do you know that your faith is taking traction, right? I was meditating on this scripture. Meditate, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. I'm thinking, no, I know you've told me. And, you know, like, people are going, yeah, but how's it going to happen? Like, I mean, you know what, you're going to ask someone, you're going to, what are you going to, I said, I don't know how it's going to happen. I said, I just know that God's going to get me this TV. I said, you just keep watching. I remember there was one particular guy who was a real antagonist. He was in year 11, just an open atheist. And he's saying, that's never going to happen and stuff. I said, mate, I said, you just watch and see. So anyway, but I remember over time, as I meditated the word, I just gave it my attention. I stopped giving attention to the thoughts in my mind, because the thoughts in my mind were saying, who's going to give you thousands of dollars to buy a TV? How's that going to happen? I just kept casting that away. No, you wish above all things that I will prosper and be in health. So that's what I believe. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't need to work out how this is going to happen. So this happened for a number of months, and there was a confidence that began to rise in me, just slightly. I was thinking, you know, like that was an indication something's happening, something's going on. So I had this phone call this one day. This guy rang me. He's a supporter of chaplaincy. And he said, look, he said, I want to buy you something for your office. He said, what can I buy you? I said, no, he sent me it as an email. And I'm thinking, well, I said, look, I'm believing God for a TV. I said, but you don't have to buy that for me. I said, you don't have to buy me anything. I said, I really appreciate all of your support. Anyway, he emailed me back. He said, no, no. He said, I want to do this. He said, I want to buy this for you. And he had this 32-inch kind of generic brand TV that was at Big W, and he was going to buy that. I knew that wasn't it. The Lord had already said to me, what TV do you want? You know, and I hadn't sort of gone into all that, those details, but I'd written down. I knew exactly. It was going to be, I said to the Lord, I want a good brand. I said, because I don't want people to think that you're a skinflint. I said, I want you to give me a good brand. I said, I want a Panasonic. I want a big screen. Back then, 42-inch was a big screen. 42-inch is small now. But like, I said, I want a 42-inch. I want it full high definition. I wrote it all down and stuff. Anyway, this guy said to me, you know, I've got this like 28-inch at Big W, and you know, and some generic brand. And he said, I'm going to go pick that up. He said, give me a call if you're happy with that. And I'm thinking, what do I do? I don't want to sort of sound ungrateful, like, no, that's not good enough. But at the same time, I knew what God, like the Lord had said to me, what do you want? And I'd already written it down. So I'm praying and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to this guy. I really appreciate his generosity and I don't want to sound ungrateful. Anyway, the Lord finally put it on my heart and I gave him a call and I said, listen, I said, I really appreciate what you're doing. I said, there is a specific TV, and I said, it's not that one. I said, but I just really appreciate it. I said, so right now I'm going to say no. And I said, but it's, I said, your thought and your loyalty to the chaplaincy, you know, it's just something that I want you to know I appreciate greatly. And anyway, so it was fine. Now, you know, like there's a confidence that's growing in me. God's talking to people. And there's a joy and there's a peace that's flooding, you know. And I'm talking to people. I'm walking through the... It's like now I'm just talking about it without even thinking about it. Like, man, have you heard what God's going to do for me? And they'll say, oh, what? I go, God's going to get me a brand new high definition big screen plasma TV. And they'll go, who? You know, like, and now, like, it's like a number of these high schoolers, even the unchurched, had heard it enough that they were beginning to agree with me. There was no evidence in the natural, but there was a confidence, and I wasn't trying to put it on, it was just flowing. So, like, I remember on a number of occasions, like, I'd be going for a walk through the school grounds, and I'd have some of the guys with me, and come up to a group of guys, start talking to them, and go, oh, what's been happening with you, Les? And I said, I said, God's going to get me a... Have you heard what God's going to get me? And they said, what? And I said, God's going to get me a high-definition, big-screen plasma TV for my office. And, like, if it's kids that I'd never spoken to about it, they'd go, like, what? And some of these kids that I heard would go, God's going to get it, you retard, don't you listen, you know? And, like, people are just starting to talk about it. And so it came up, like, a week before I received it. I couldn't see it. There was no evidence that it was there. There was no, except it was like kind of like that Reinhard Bonnke story that I shared last week. It's like, I just knew it was there. The joy was bubbling up, the peace. It was just like, it's like, oh, I'd be saying to people, wait till you see my TV. You're going to love my TV. Where is it? It's on its way. There was no evidence except joy and peace began to flood. How do you know your faith is working? Joy and peace begins to flood. Hey, I had this one other supporter of my chaplaincy, a very wealthy businessman. I invited him to come to a night we were having, wasn't really a fundraising night. It was actually just a night just to honour our supporters. And I wanted him to come. I said, come and be my guest. It's a dinner we're putting on. He emailed me. He said, look, I can't make it. He said, but I've really been thinking about it. He said, I want to do something for you. He said, what can I do for you? He said, I'll send some money to your chaplaincy. He said, or is there something else that you're doing? And I said, well, you know, like I'm... I said, there are some things that I need for my office and stuff. And I said, but, you know, look, just do whatever you want to do. And he said, what do you need for your office? And I said, well, I'm aiming to get a TV for my office. And he said, all right. He said, what sort of TV? He said, how much does it cost? So I wrote down the Panasonic 42-inch. It's going to cost this much. I sent that off. He emailed me a couple of minutes later and he said, go. He said, go get it. He said, I've transferred the money. Within a couple of days, Phil's there in my office and we are hanging up this TV in my office. And the first guy that walked into my office was that unbelieving year 11. Just as we finished hanging it up, and he looked at it and he said, oh my God. And I said, not your God, mate, my God. My God. Faith. You know your faith is getting traction when the worry, the depression, the discouragement begins to ebb away and there's a joy, a confidence. Because faith is the confidence of what you're hoping for. And as that begins to really rise up within you, you know that stuff is beginning. But there's ways you can bring that joy and peace. There's ways you can cause it to bubble up. And we talked about that last week. Philemon 1:6, your faith will become effective as you acknowledge the good things that are within you. Spend time acknowledging. And if you don't understand that, then look it up and have a listen to the message from last week. And then last week we looked at how faith is released by your words. Remember we saw the incident where Jesus cursed the fig tree? You know, the moment he cursed the fig tree, that fig tree began to die. But none of the disciples realized that it was dead until the next day when it was visible. You know, the moment you release faith-filled words, things begin to occur. In your body, in your situation, in your circumstance. If you would just control your words. And then we also looked last week about how faith is released by our actions. You know, that faith without works is dead. You know, your actions are pivotal. You can't say you believe God if you don't act like you believe God. You know, if you believe God in a certain area, well, how is it changing the way you act, the way you live? And that's so important. I remember when the Lord really reminded me, I'd kind of lost track of that, but a number of years ago, probably about 6 years ago, I had this pain developing. It was probably about 7 years ago. And it was a pain that started here on my shoulder, but it gradually started to grow right down my arm and then go right into my back. I didn't know what it was, and soon it was starting to, like, when I would move my arm, it would hurt. So, like, soon it was starting to limit what I could do. This is really important. Remember last week I said, whatever you make room for in your life will take up residence. I didn't realize I was making room for this. There was this pain, and it was like it was stopping me from reaching up. So instead of feeling that pain, I stopped reaching up. I was making room. It began to take residence. Soon, I couldn't reach that high, but soon it began to take up more residence, and I couldn't reach it this high. And so I stopped reaching that high. And then soon I couldn't reach this high. I was giving it room. And soon I found, like, if I needed to scratch my back, I couldn't go like that and scratch my back. It would hurt. So I would stop and I would use my other hand. And soon I couldn't move it behind. And so I stopped moving behind. And soon I couldn't even move it there. I could only move it there. And so I stopped moving it further back. I was giving it more room. And I was praying. I was believing. I was using the Word of God. And I'm thinking, why? You know, and I thought, anyway, this is not happening over days. This is happening over months. This is happening over a period of about a year and a half until eventually I could not reach up. I could not reach behind my back. And even if I had my hand by my side like this, I would be in constant pain. Soon the pain was there all the time. I remember I talked to Joy about it, and she said, that sounds like calcific tendonitis. It's where there's a buildup of calcium on your bone, and so then when you try to move, there's like a sinew or something, or a ligament that goes over that and moves, and so it scrapes against that calcium deposit, and so it causes a terrible pain. And so as this deposit grew, it began to limit my movement. And, you know, I remember looking it up, you know, calcific tendonitis, and they basically said, yeah, you know, like it can right itself within 6 to 10 years. And I'm thinking, 6 to 10 years? And they said, you can go and get a cortisone injection, but cortisone's just a painkiller. It's like just a super strong painkiller, which will, for a number of months, alleviate the situation. And they said, if it's really bad, you may need to have an operation or something like that. And I kind of knew this because I remember Joy had the same thing a number of years earlier, and she'd just been healed supernaturally and been completely released of that. And so I just said, well, no, I'm not going to have an operation and you can't use that arm and shoulder for 6 months. And I thought, no, there's a better way. There's God's way. But see, I'd been praying and I'd been believing for a year and a half. It had been gradually getting worse. Until now, I'm just in pain all the time. So I was just kind of like, what's going on here? And I just quietened myself before the Lord and I said, where am I missing it? Where am I not getting this? And he took me to this issue that we talked about last week about how faith without works is dead. That faith needs to have corresponding actions. And he began to minister to me and he said, you say that you believe, but you don't act like you believe because you make room for this in your life. Are you hearing what the Holy Spirit's saying? This is so important. This is the difference between victory and defeat for some of you. And I said, Lord, I said, I didn't realize I was doing that. And I realized my mistake. Instead of acting like how I believed, I would say I believe but not act on it. I thought, well, that's changing right now. I said, in the name of Jesus, you are nothing to me. I said, pain, you have no right to be on my body. I refuse to carry you for a second longer. And I said, Lord, I just rejoice. I am free of all pain. I refuse to carry pain for 1 second longer. And I began to lift my arm. That was hard. That was really hard. Tears are coming out of my eyes, just lifting it this high. I'm going, thank you, Lord. I'm gritting my teeth, but I'm just saying, no, I don't care what my body says. God says I'm healed. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see. I just began, so I'm lifting my arms and saying, thank you, Lord. And I thought, there's got to be another way. I'm going to act another way. What am I going to do? Push-ups. I'm going to do, okay, I hadn't done push-ups for ages. I couldn't do it because of the shoulder. No, got on the floor, did three push-ups. It was excruciating pain to do three push-ups. Got up, lifted my hand again. Thank you, Jesus. I am free. Got on the floor again, did three push-ups. I did everything deliberately that my body was saying, dude, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. I am not telling you to do this. I'm saying the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, well, what do you believe? And then start acting on what you believe. I believed I was healed. I believed this thing had no right to be on my body. I believed that I'd been standing on the integrity of the word for a year and a half, and it was wrong for this thing to still be there. And I saw the mistake that I was making as I was making room for it. I was not acting on what I believed. I did that probably for about 45 minutes. Hey, push-ups, got up there. And I sort of didn't realize it straight away. But over the course of that 45 minutes, from going like this to the end of the 45 minutes, I'm like this. And I'm praising God, and I'm doing push-ups, and now I'm doing 5 push-ups, 6 push-ups, I'm doing 10 push-ups, and then I'm praising God. Eventually, I got too tired of doing push-ups. Faith is released by your actions. I had a molar that my gum swelled up, and there was pain. Phil had taken Joy and I for a weekend getaway. It wasn't a weekend getaway, it was during the week. But it was on the Sunshine Coast. This was a number of years ago. And it all just swelled up. I could not eat on that side. And I just, in my mind, I just saw like massive dentist bill. Like, oh, thanks. Is this your phone number? No, that's the bill. I'm going, oh, man, you know, I'm going to have to see a dentist. And like, this is just going to be super expensive. And I was just like feeling a bit down. Like, just thinking like, oh. And I remember like, after about maybe an hour or something like that, the Lord said, well, you don't have to go to the dentist. And I said, oh, I've got to get this looked at, you know. And he said, well, why don't you believe me for it? I don't know why. For some reason, I just thought, yeah, God can heal anything, but not dentist stuff, you know, like dentist stuff. Isn't it funny how we think just weird things, hey? And I thought, I can trust you, I can trust you for my teeth even. I thought, all right. And it hadn't been long since I had that revelation and been set free of that. So I knew what I needed to do. So I said, well, show me something in the Word. And he showed me a scripture, and I began to meditate on that. I spent probably 5-10 minutes just meditating on that, just allowing that to sink into my mind. Okay, yep, that's the truth. I'm healed. That's the truth. I'm healed. See, I was just allowing my mind to be renewed, because my mind had been saying, dude, this really hurts. You're going to have to go see a dentist. But I needed to renew my mind with what God was saying. And so for about 10 minutes, I just looked at that scripture and just spoke that over myself. And I said, no. I said, the truth is I'm healed. My body's trying to say I'm not, but the truth is I'm healed. I'm healed. I just give you praise. And so I hadn't acted on anything. I just spent time meditating. Then eventually, after 10 minutes, I said, that's it. It's done. We went out for tea that night. We went to a restaurant. I ordered a steak. I ate everything on that side. I didn't eat anything on that side. I thought, if I'm healed, I'm going to eat on that side. It was the most excruciating meal I ever went through. But by the end of that meal, I was completely healed. All the swelling had gone, and all the pain had completely disappeared. I don't know how long it took, maybe half an hour. The better I get at it, the better results I get. Faith is released through your actions. If you're believing God for something, you need to consider, well, what are my actions in this area, and what do I need to be doing if I really believe this? Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? I haven't really got to where I wanted to go, but I think we might have to round up soon. You know, there are levels of faith, and it's important to understand this. there are levels of faith, and it takes time to move into levels of faith. You've got the same faith. I believe you've got the same faith that Christ has. All right? But even if we put that aside, you've got at least the same faith that the apostles had. Remember I showed you that in scriptures last week. Peter said, to those of like precious faith, he was writing his letter. Well, you're of like precious faith. You have the same faith as Peter did. And Peter raised the dead. Peter healed the sick. But like, while we've all got that faith, it's learning how to cooperate with the things of the Spirit and releasing that. And there's levels of that. And it takes time. The biggest thing we have to do is just change what's here. It's not changing here. Everything's done here, right? But it's in our mind. Our mind gets in the way, like, dude, how's that going to happen? Come on. Have you ever seen that happen? Is that really? And if we can change the way we think, we can then allow our spirit to flow and the forces that are within our spirit to flow out. And so, you know, like, it's important to understand it. You might be sort of listening to today or even listening to the last couple of weeks and just thinking, that's it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to empty every hospital. I go to the ICU, the intensive care unit, and just heal everybody, because you just realize, I've got faith. I've got the same faith that Peter did. I can do this. But it's understanding there's levels of faith. And also it's understanding that people who are receiving need to have faith too. There's a part that they have to play in that. If you've never successfully used your faith in small ways, then you're not going to have the confidence to use your faith in big ways. Doesn't that make sense? You know, if you remember when you were learning how to ride a bike, you know, most of us would have had like some sort of those extra wheels on the side to stop us, those training wheels, you know, to stop us from falling over. Because we needed to at least just get a handle of just staying on the bike. But eventually there came a stage where we took the trainers off. There's levels and growing. Look for ways that you can implement and release your faith in your life right where you are. And as you get more, as you see the fruit of it, you'll get more confident. And then you'll be able to then move to higher levels and greater manifestations of faith. You know, you can start with colds and flus, you know. If you get symptoms of the flu, that's not a condemnation thing. Believe God that you'll recover quicker than you ever have. Believe God, like if you're in the habit of getting the cold and flu like several times a year, believe God that it's going to be at least half of that amount or less. If it's like 6 or 7 times a year, believe God it's going to be less than 3 this year. Start releasing your faith in those ways. Believe that you'll be visiting the doctors less frequently because you don't have a need to visit the doctors. I'm not saying it's wrong to visit the doctors, but it's the sick that need a physician. Is that right? It's not the healthy. Look for ways to put it to practice and develop and learn how to cooperate so that you can release this in greater. One of my big, big weaknesses for me was headaches. I don't get headaches very often. It's very rare. Maybe 3 or 4 times a year. I'll get a headache. But when I get a headache, I was convinced there's nothing on earth that can move that unless I take some Panadol. I was just like, in my own mind, in my own thinking, it's just like, I need some Panadol. Just everybody get out of my way. I need some Panadol. I'll take some Panadol. In half an hour, I'll be better. And I remember, you know, like after these things, like with my gum and with my shoulder and different things, and confidence began to grow, the Lord said, now I want you to trust me with headaches. And I said, oh, do I have to? Like, I can just take the Panadol, it'll be gone in half an hour. I didn't want to, because like the pain in my head, for some reason, I was just convinced there is no greater pain than that and you can't cope. And I was agreeing with it. That was wrong thinking on my part. And the Lord said, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me with this. And I said, no, you know, like there's nothing that's impossible for you. So, okay, I'll do this. And when I began to do it, I'm not going to tell you it just all happened like that. It didn't. Because this is something that I allowed the enemy to really build a stronghold in my mind, Those first couple of times when I got a headache, it would take several hours. I'd be like, the devil would get in my head and saying, like, dude, if you took nothing, you'd probably get healed in the same amount of time, wouldn't you? Like, didn't you just waste your time? No, didn't waste my time. My God is faithful. His word is true. But you know, after a couple of times, I began to do it. I just do not take painkillers for headaches anymore. And they don't last in me. They don't last more than half an hour. Usually within 10 minutes. If I have a space of a couple of hours, I feel this headache coming on, I just slap my head like that, and I say, get off me in the name of Jesus. That's all. And usually within 5 to 10 minutes, it's just gone. Now, that may not be a lot to you, but for me, that's really significant, because this was a weakness in my life. This was something that I was convinced nothing could move other than medication. Look for ways to implement your faith. The scripture says we walk by what? By faith. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. So be a person of faith. Look for ways. Get your faith working. Not just in the area of healing. Get your faith working in the area of finances. Get it working. Believe God. You know, like, you know, I set faith goals in my giving every year. I want to go further. I want to push this baby as far as I can go. Prosperity is not about how much you have in your bank account. Prosperity is about your freedom and ability to be able to give, because you've got to have it to be able to give it. You could have everything that any person on earth desires, but you're in over your head in debt. You're not free. You're a slave to your possessions. You know, we can't take money with us. But I've discovered you can send it on ahead of you through the lives that you impact as you give. So I set boundaries, I set goals for myself in my giving. Every year I increase in my giving. I believe God to give at higher levels, at better levels, at greater levels. It's fun to be a giver. It's really fun to bless people, to do something for them. I know, because I wasn't always able to do that. I'm trying to give you ideas of how to implement your faith, how to begin to massage it, and work with the Holy Spirit and begin to go to higher levels of that. You know, renew your mind. Constantly feed your mind with anointed teaching in these areas. You should be feeding regularly about faith. You should be feeding regularly about healing. You should be feeding regularly about prosperity. When's the last time you heard some stuff on this area? If the only time you hear it is just coming to church, that's not enough. Oh, I know about healing. I heard a message last year. It was a really good one. I know about healing. Really? I'm still learning about healing. You'll never stop learning. The more you feed, it's you're not feeding your spirit. Your spirit's fine. Your spirit knows everything. But what you're doing is you're really washing your brain out. You're getting brainwashed to think in line with God rather than think in line with the word. With the world. And prosperity and health should be absolute necessities. That should be staple part of your spiritual diet, that you're feeding regularly. Why am I saying those two things? Because if you're going to achieve the will of God for your life, you're going to have to be healthy. And if you're going to achieve the will of God for your life, you're not going to be poor. What's the point of being healthy but you've got no money to do what God's called you to do? So feed regularly in those areas, prosperity and health or healing. Feed regularly, anointed stuff, to wash out that worldly way of thinking so you start thinking more in line with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't get to my message, but I do believe I got the message that I needed to share out. Hey, let's stand up. So those of you who are wondering, why were we at Matthew chapter 8? Ask the Holy Spirit, hey, he'll show you. But I believe what was needed to be said was said this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to thank him, praise him. Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Ho valaska e balagiri de se brakaja. Sam blaskeve e draja roboscovro oje valaskala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. O gelan zam blangese feresco brochora da sie. E brasco fo posca halelesi eleske clandazo droboji. Himbro goshka falaza. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a confession. I'm going to pray for some people in a moment. But there's just two things we're going to do just before that. First, I'm going to lead you in a confession. So I want you to repeat after me. I thank you, Father, for your presence in my life. I have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. And I recognize that you have spoken to me this morning. And I respond to what you have said because I'm a doer of the word. I'm not just a hearer. I have heard you and I will put it into action in my life. And your word says, when I am a doer of the word and not just a hearer, then I'm blessed. So I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.